great privilege to be here. I was telling Preacher and some others, this is home country for me. I was born and raised in Cincinnati and got saved. Many of you, some of you old timers like me, might remember Landmark Baptist and Dr. John Rawlings. That's where I got saved. And so to come home, I have two things. When my wife would be with me, she just had surgery and she's not able to travel right now. But when we come to anywhere near Cincinnati, Dayton area, we stop at Skyline Chili on the way. We eat it while we're there, and we go out and stop on our way out of town as well. So it runs through our blood. And we still love, our first date was to a Reds baseball game. And so this is home to me. I absolutely love mid-Ohio, and I'm glad to be here. Good to see you. Well, if you take your Bible and join me in Luke chapter 8, pardon me, Luke chapter 8, and for our Sunday school lesson, I just want to kind of walk through this chapter and think about this. How do you hear the Word of God? How, and I place an emphasis on that word, how do you hear the Word of God? Notice what Jesus says in verse 18. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. Normally, when I talk about hearing, my emphasis is on what you hear. In other words, I often tell people you better be careful about what preaching you listen to. You better be careful about whose counsel you take. I even get down into you better be careful what music you listen to, what shows might entertain you, because what we hear and what we allow into our minds gets into our hearts, and it will impact us in our walk with the Lord and how we relate to the Lord and to others. So what you hear is incredibly important and needs to be emphasized. But that's not Jesus's emphasis here. Jesus's question is not careful what you hear. His statement is, be careful how you hear. I would suggest to you that how we listen and how we hear, especially the Lord and the Word of God, will make all the difference in our spiritual lives, all the difference in our lives, in our homes, in our church, at work, and so on. For example, I have three children. All of them were perfect. They never required any discipline whatsoever. Sure. But in my experience, have you ever with one of your children had to say, hey, you better listen to me? You know, when the finger comes out and you better listen to me. Now, you're not saying to them, you better audibly hear me. They're 2 feet away from you. You know they are audibly hearing you. What you're saying to them is, what I'm saying to you is so important that your attitude has to be receptive and inclined to obey. I'm saying this to you because you better do what I'm saying. How you hear can make all the difference with a teacher. Am I listening to what the teacher actually says? How you hear might make all the difference in your employment with, am I listening and actually hearing what my boss is telling me to do? I'm just simply saying how we hear, the willingness to listen with an intention to do what we're told to do is incredibly important and never as more important than when we come to what the Lord says to us. Now, the truth is, Luke 8:18 is the culmination of what the Lord has been teaching in all that has preceded in the parable that he gave about the sower and the word. And I'm going to walk through that. And as I read through it, I want you to be looking at your Bible, but I'm going to try to emphasize how many times as we read through this passage, The Lord places an emphasis on hearing. Go back with me to verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now here I'm in this line in the next verse. I've listened to everything he said, and here's Mike Edwards. Oh, what's any of that mean? Okay. His disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be? What are you trying to get across to us?" Well, he explains it. He said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Did you know I've learned in my life that I can see things and come away with a different understanding of what actually just happened? A lot of times I understand that when someone sees an accident, their report of that accident might be incredibly different from someone else that saw that accident. We can see things and not understand what we see. We can also hear things and not fully understand what we are supposed to do with what we just heard. Pick it up in verse 11. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Now let me stop again, and forgive me, I stop and start. There is nothing wrong with what is being heard by all the people that are going to hear it. There's never anything wrong with hearing the word of God, is there? So the issue is never in this parable what is heard. It is the perfect word of God. Again, now verse 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good ear... Is that what your Bible says? No, an honest and good heart. Here's the point of what we're talking about. When we listen properly to the Lord, we listen as much with our heart as with our ear. And if your heart is not where it needs to be, all the right stuff can pass through your ear. You can hear it perfectly well audibly, and it never penetrates your heart. Let's read on. Having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Now again to verse 18, take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath to him shall be given, whosoever hath to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. The perfect word of God is what is being heard. Every ear that is mentioned hears the perfect word of God, but there are three that it does not take root. There is one that it does take root, and it is the heart, it is the ear that has the heart that is ready and willing to hear. Now, this is simply my point this morning, that you and I need to have hearts that are ready to hear the word of God. A parable does not teach, I want to be careful to say this, do not draw doctrine from a parable. A parable is given to us to emphasize one single point. If you read this parable and tried to take doctrine, you would think that some were saved because they had received the word, but then things sprung up and they gave it up. That's not what the parable is teaching. What the parable is teaching is you can be too busy for the heart to be affected by what you physically heard. You can be distracted. You can be a lot of things where you audibly hear what you need to hear, but it is essential that our hearts be prepared to hear the word of God. So I ask you this morning, here's the question, now I'll give the application. How do you hear the word of God? It's a wonderful thing that you're in church. It's a wonderful thing that you carry a Bible. It's a wonderful thing that the music will fill our hearts with spiritual truth. It's a wonderful thing that perhaps we listen to broadcasts through the week that might reinforce the word of God. But if our hearts are not in tune with the Lord, we can hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it, and it never take root in our heart. So I ask you four questions. If you want to be prepared to hear the word of God, here's number one. Do you actually delight in hearing the word of God preached? Do you delight in hearing the word of God preached? Look over with me in Psalm 119 for a moment. And I want to read a few verses, Psalm 119, 130. Notice that. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Now, the phrase that I want to draw attention to first is this. The first phrase in verse 130. The entrance of thy word giveth light. I love that phrase. That's a beautiful phrase. The word of God does bring light to our lives. But there's an aspect of that that I challenge you to think about. I love to be told that I'm wrong, don't you? No. I just love it when my wife points out to me, hey, you didn't do that right. I don't like to be criticized, and I handle it well, don't get me wrong. But none of us love to have things pointed out, hey, that's wrong, you did that wrong. Well, I want you to understand that phrase, that the word brings light, that's a beautiful phrase. But the aspect that we need to think about is it exposes to us what is wrong. I do not want to go to a church that does not challenge me about how I am living my life. If I go to a church that only cheerleads me about any way that I'm leading my life, then my possibility of growing in the Lord becomes less and less and less. I need to be challenged. And that means that when pastor or teacher, whoever opens the word of God and begins to speak that word to me, the most beneficial moment in that service might well be when the word of God speaks into my life and exposes something that I am doing or something that I'm allowing or something that I'm omitting, and I come under conviction about that thing. Conviction is not comfortable, but conviction is absolutely necessary to our lives. And therefore, I'm going to be driven by not a desire to only hear preaching that lifts me up. I need preaching that exposes the truth about me. I have in my back pocket an iPhone, and I'm like you. I both hate and love it at the same time. But one of the aspects of that iPhone is it's got a little flashlight on it. You ever use yours? I use mine almost every day because at my age, I'm on one little pink blood pressure pill. And I don't think I've ever picked it up without dropping it. It is like the tiniest, the head of a pin. And when I drop it, I'm now blessed with some cataracts. And unless you've got floodlights in my kitchen, I will never find it. And so I turned that light on, and as soon as I turned my flashlight on, I thought, oh, there it is. And that is the aspect of the Word of God that we need. You know what I'm not good at? Judging myself. I'm very good at judging you. Oh, just ask me. But I'm not good at judging myself, and the Bible says my heart is deceitful. And so when the Word of God is turned on and its light is shown on my life and it exposes something that is, I don't want to deal with that, or something that challenges me to change what I'm doing, my heart must always be accepting of that criticism, never resistant to that criticism that comes to my life from the Word of God, because I never want to be. Verse 133, notice it, order my steps in thy word. Here's what I want, Lord. I want you to direct my steps according to your word. Why? Because I don't want any iniquity to have dominion over me. I wasn't saved as a child, and for years I lived, I wasn't a wicked man in any sense, but under the dominion of sin. I know what that is. I know where that goes. I don't want to live my saved life in the bondage of sin, do you? And so a necessary part of that is for the Word of God to expose to us where sin has its claws in our lives, and to help us order our step, order our lives out of the dominion of that sin and walking in the light of the Word of God. So I simply ask you, is it your absolute delight when the Word of God is opened and you hear it and it touches a spot in your life that you know is not where it needs to be? Here's number two. Do I have a teachable spirit? Turn over to Psalm 25, please. Psalm 25. And I want you to notice in verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. There's little doubt that we all need to be taught. As a matter of fact, I'll say this, and I'll probably say it again through the week. I'm approaching almost 75. And one of the great fears of my life is that there would be a day where I would come to where I would say, I've heard enough preaching. I've heard all the preaching. I've read through the Word of God hundreds of times. I've studied it. I know the Word of God. Because I want you to know, I want my heart to be that when I walk into a room, if the kid is 16 preaching the message, it's not about his age or his style. It's about the truth of the Word of God. And there is never a day that the Word of God is not open that I don't need what God wants for me to see in that Word. It is a living book. I say this to people, and I'm not trying to be humorous in any way. I've never been married to a 75-year-old woman before. We say, why would you say that? Well, because her needs are incredibly different at 75 when she's having some health issues than when we were young marrieds at 19. Her needs are incredibly different as a grandma of seven and soon to be a great-grandma than they were when she was having her babies. And I wasn't smart enough to be her husband and love her like Christ loved the church when she was that age and I was that age. And nor am I smart enough today to love her like Christ loved the church when she's facing what she's facing. Now, my point is this, not talking about marriage and wives and how we get old. It's what day don't I need the Word? What day do I not need God to speak into my life and say, this is how you do it? And here's the great question. As an old man, oh God, help me never to develop a heart that is not teachable. Help me never to become so arrogant in my walk or self-satisfied in my walk that you don't have the privilege, Lord, and the opportunity to speak through a young man or a young lady to ladies. Help me never to come to the point where I'm a know-it-all. I don't know it all. And I certainly need what you have for me today. Do I have a teachable spirit? When I was much younger in the ministry, I was an assistant pastor for 5 years. And part of my responsibility was to teach in our Christian school, and I taught Bible to the high school students. And I learned very quickly that there were some kids that would come into Bible class and they would have a notebook open, pen ready, their textbook would be open, their Bible would be open, and you could teach them anything. They were ready. But there was another class of kids that came out, and you always had to send them back to their locker to get their Bible or to get their text or to get a notebook, and it was never open, and you always had to say, hey, you need to take this down. And you know what? How could they have had a better teacher? So it certainly wasn't me. How could they have had a better subject? Couldn't have been anything wrong with the Word, but they didn't have a heart that was teachable. Because they had developed an attitude, either I don't want what you've got, I already know what you're going to say, or you're not smart enough to teach me, or some other facet of that. What a horrible spirit that is. And if that is the spirit that develops in us, we will never be growing in the Lord, and we need to be growing in the Lord every single day. Now notice what the Lord said here. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners. What an incredible truth that God would incline himself to teach us who have been rebels every day of our life against the truth, and yet God desires to teach us to help us. Now notice, the meek will he guide in judgment. That phrase, guide in judgment, is actually an archery term. For those of you that are hunters and maybe hunt with archery. And it just simply says that God will notch that arrow, he will draw that string, he will aim it, and that arrow will go to where God wants it to go. It'll hit right in the middle of the target. And God says, I can do that with you. God says, I can guide you in judgment, but he puts a qualifier on it, the meek. If you're so prideful that you come in and you don't need God to teach you, if you're so prideful or so filled with ourselves that we come in and nobody can teach us anything, then the truth is you'll probably never hit the target. But God says, if you've got a teachable heart, my Holy Spirit will teach you and guide you and remind you and help you and pray for you and comfort you when we blow. I'm just saying, God will teach his word if we have a teachable spirit. Do you have a teachable spirit? Can somebody teach you something, or do you come in with an attitude that prevents the teaching of the word of God? Here's number three. Do I prepare my heart to hear the word of God? Do I prepare my heart to hear the word of God? I won't have you turn there for the sake of time, but the Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Here's a simple truth. This is a spiritually discerned book. I'm glad for every educated person. I often say this, and I'm not saying it humorously, I mean it. When I preached in the D.C. area all those years, probably most days I was the least educated man in the auditorium. But it's not your pedigree, it's not your education, it's not your degrees, it's not any of that that makes you a good student of the Word of God. What makes you a good student of the Word of God is when we are spiritually prepared to hear what only God can teach us. So often we are so busy. And is there anybody in here not busy? I've asked that question in every church I ever preach in. Nobody's ever raised their hand because we're incredibly busy. If they give me one more time-saving device, I'm going to blow up. I don't have any more time to save with time-saving devices. My point is this, that sometimes if we're not very, very careful, God gets relegated to the last thing, not the first thing. And we are busy with this and busy with that, and we're running here and we're running there. And it's not that we don't love the Lord, and it's not that we wouldn't love to have that time with the Lord. It's just that we never dedicate that time to the Lord. And so often we end up sitting before Him unprepared to hear Him. I'll try to illustrate it this way. Living in Virginia for all those years, we were surrounded with history. And I love history, and so we have just gone to every site, every battlefield, every place in Virginia we could go to. There's a road, Route 20, that's called Constitution Way, and you can go from Mount Vernon to Montpelier to Monticello and all the sites and historical things in between those. And we had been to Mount Vernon many times, been to Monticello many times, but Montpelier, where James Madison was less interested, or less accessible. And so one time we were going past, and we went past, and I told my wife, I said, hey, we've never seen Montpelier. Let's just run in and see it real quick. And so we ran in, and we didn't have time to watch the video, and we didn't have time to go through the museum and read the plaques, and we didn't have time to take the guided tour. So all we did is we saw the house, we walked into the gardens, and we left, and I said, yeah, that's a house with a garden. Okay, no big deal. And I got under not conviction, but I thought we didn't give that a chance. So a little bit later, a couple months later, we had a day as a day date. We said, let's go to Montpelier. And we went in and we watched the video about Montpelier and James Madison. And we went over here and walked all through the museum. I'm a plaque reader. And so I read every plaque as we go through the museum. My wife has been done an hour and a half. She's waiting up there for me. But I read everything. We took the guided tour, and it was the greatest guided tour. This lady knew so much about history, and she knew it from a spiritual standpoint. She talked about how Pastor John Leland, a Baptist preacher, had great influence on James Madison, and how he just encouraged him and biblically showed him why we needed a Bill of Rights that included the right to worship. The lady then took us upstairs, and she said Dolly Madison sat here, and in the morning the children would sit here, and she would teach them the word in the morning, and then they would go out to play, and she would pray for them by name as they played in the gardens. And when we left after like 3 hours, you know what my opinion was? That's the greatest place I've ever been. And it had nothing to do with the place. It had everything to do with my preparation to understand it. And so when our time with the Lord, for example, on a Sunday morning is relegated to, hey, we got to get up, we got to get the kids dressed, we got to get in there. I know that sometimes mornings are pressed and you arrive at church barely liking each other, much less being in love. And you come in and say, Lord, fill me. But same on Saturday and same through the week. We've got to come to the place where God is not a hole we fill if we have time. God has His place, and everything else is second, third, or fourth to our time with the Lord. So that when we do arrive on Sunday morning, or when we do arrive at sitting before Him in our own private time, we have a heart that is prepared to hear what He has to say to us. Do you have a prepared heart? This is last. Do you pray for the ones that are speaking to you? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1 says this. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Now, I read that verse because it's spoken under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by the Apostle Paul. I know no man in the Bible other than Jesus and John the Baptist who I would lift up to the place that I lift the Apostle Paul in being a practical servant of the Lord. I mean, he preached and led people to Christ and counseled and led. I just think he was a great, great missionary and a great man. But he knew he had a great need. And the great need was that he needed people to pray for him for the ability that only God could provide to communicate the truth of the Word of God. Now, I would suggest if Paul prayed for that, There's nobody alive today who does not need for people to be praying for their ability to preach the word. I've been praying, this is my 50th year of ministry. And I want you to know that I don't get nervous about being in front of people like I used to, but I can honestly tell you the burden of preaching truth from the Word of God is no less today, perhaps greater, because I've lived with me for longer and I know that it is never something that I can do without God's help. And the greatest way that you can be blessed is to pray for those who speak to you. Communication is hard. That's why politicians have what they call focus groups, so that they can get that thing down to that one word or that one phrase, affordability. I would suggest that a lot of politicians don't care very much about affordability except for how it sounds and what it does for them. If Madison Avenue, if you want an advertisement about something, you have to pay them millions of dollars so that they can craft that one word or phrase that will capture the minds of the people who you want to buy your product. Go to the bookstore and go to the marriage book aisle and you'll find marriage books on marriage, and you'll find in every one of them, I think, 1, 3, 5, or 7 chapters on communication, because communication is absolutely vital and it is not easy. And therefore, I'm saying to you that if you truly want to be blessed by what is being said to you, it would be incredibly wise for you to pray daily for the one who is speaking to you or preaching to you, to pray daily that the Holy Spirit would speak to you. I'm simply saying that prayer and communication are inextricably combined. They need each other. Certainly, communication needs prayer. So, how do you hear? Do you delight to be convicted, challenged about your life and where your life is with the Lord at the moment? Do you love it when light exposes something that needs to be changed in your life? Do you have a teachable spirit? Or are you so convinced that you know what you need to know and nobody can teach you anything else that they can't? Not only that, but do you prepare your heart daily for the Word of God to be preached into your life? And then do you pray for those who have the awesome responsibility of communicating to you? I will assure you that when you come into this church, and I'm not only talking about preaching times. By the way, if all the Word of God we ever receive is in a preaching time, we're going to be deficient in what we need. But I am saying to you that the most important activity of your day and your week is having the word spoken into your life, whether in your own devotions or in these essential times of preaching. God chose church. God chose for us to assemble ourselves together. God chose for preaching for to be one of his ways to manifest truth into our lives. And God, I don't ever want to get over the fact that I need your word daily, and I want to be very careful. I'm going to be careful on what I hear, but God, I want my heart to be good seed or good ground for that seed, so that when you sow that seed in my heart, it bears much fruit. I don't want to be too busy. I don't want to be too distracted. I don't want to be too full of myself. I want your seed to bear fruit in my heart. Father, would you help us to make whatever changes are needed in our lives so that we truly are prepared to hear your word. Lord, we desire for your word to bear fruit in our lives. So help us to be teachable. Help us desire to be challenged where we need to be challenged. We don't want our life to be ordered by the world. We want it to be ordered by the word. God, help us to be prayerful. Help us, Lord, to be students who properly hear your word. For Jesus' sake. Amen.